This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you in our studios here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer. I wish you'd sit down and write me if you hear this broadcast enough or often. Write me and let me know that you hear it. We've gone on some new stations, so maybe this is the first time that you've ever heard it. And we're bringing you a series of messages on the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know that you don't hear this on your normal average radio broadcast, but we are felt led to bring in these studies, and we're looking there now at John as he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he looked around and he saw, what was it he saw? He saw the seven candlesticks. Now listen, he says his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass, his voice as the sound of many waters. We want to look there. At this time, it was the voice that had called unto the multitudes, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." The voice, the same voice that had said, listen now, let me go back and say this. The same voice that said unto the sinner, "I came not to destroy, but to save," according to Luke 9:56. The voice that said, "Go and sin no more, faith has saved thee." The voice that was silenced by death, which sent the disciples back to their home weeping for their three sleepless days and night. What is more terrifying to a criminal than the voice of the judge? Oh, my friend, I wish you'd listen. Would that you could hear that voice now and not have to hear the voice of the Son of Man there on the day of judgment. Then he said he had in his right hand seven stars. So let's look there at this time. All the glorified Son of Man, as he stood there in the midst of the churches, John said, "I saw in his right hand seven stars." In the 20th verse, he says, the seven stars are the angels, are the messengers, the pastors of those seven churches. These angels are ministers of the churches. And my friend, do you see the position of the pastor in relationship to Christ? He is in his right hand. Now, my friend, I know. The scripture says, "Touch not God's anointed." And I know that God's man many times is scoffed at and ridiculed because of his stand he has to take. But I'd be careful. I'd be mighty careful to treat God's man with respect, my friend. Oh, listen. He holds every one of his pastors in his right hand. They derive their power and their office from the Lord. According to God's word, the right hand signifies power, position, honor, and dignity. According to Psalm 16, "At his right hand, I shall not be moved. His messenger is bold and courageous," according to Psalms 16:11. "At God's right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The servant of God draws all his satisfaction, his joy, his pleasure, and pastime from the God he serves," according to Psalms 17:7. "The right hand of God brings salvation," according to Psalms 18:36. "It is the right hand of God that holds the messenger up and gives him strength in the midst of every battle," according to Psalms 48. "The messenger of God is saved and delivered continually from the enemy by the right hand of God," according to Psalms 118. "He is exalted by the right hand of God. His head is lifted above the enemy." And I thank the Lord that I'm held there by the right hand of God. It's also the hand of affection. In the Songs of Solomon, the believer is seen held by the right arm of God. "His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. What love, what affection doth my God have for me as his pastor, his child." But my friend, at the same time, this is the arm of judgment that God wields against his enemies and cast them out of his presence. Does his arm embrace you or love you? Or caress you, or will it be cast out forever from his presence? Now let's look. He says, "Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." As John continues to describe the glorified Son of Man standing here in the midst of the churches, he says, "Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." In Ephesians 6, we find, And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. In Hebrews 4, we find these words, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow," which refers to the body. But this is not the sword meant here. The sword of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit sword, and He alone wields that sword in opening the hearts of sinners to let them see their lost condition, that they might flee to Christ for salvation. The sword is spoken of here is the sword of the Son of Man, which is the sword of justice. It is a sharp sword, and with it He will smite the nations. It is a two-edged sword, first for the protection of His people, and second for the destruction of His enemies. Listen, the Son of Man now is uttering words of pardon and peace to every repentant sinner. But in that day, the day of the Lord, He will stand as judge and wield the sword of justice against everyone who disobeys the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, I tell you, it's far greater to obey than to sacrifice. I have folks who tell me that they're not saved, but yet they won't obey. The Lord tells them to look, they won't look. The Lord tells them to come, they won't come. The Lord tells them to repent, they won't repent. His countenance or His face was as the sun shineth in His strength. As John continues to look at the glorified Son of Man, all other features of His being seem now to pale into insignificance, and His countenance stands forth as the sun shineth in His strength. This carries us back to the Mount of Transfiguration there in Matthew 7:17. And we stand there with Peter, James, and John, and look upon that face which did shine as the sun. Then it also carries us forward to the 21st chapter of Revelation, where we read, "The new Jerusalem will have no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the Lamb is the light thereof." It also carries us back to Malachi 4:2, where the old prophet tells us that when the Lord Jesus comes back, He will be as the Sun of Righteousness, rising with healing in His wings. No wonder John fell at the feet of the Lord as one dead. No wonder he collapsed. Then it was that the Son of Man laid His right hand upon John and said, "Fear not, fear not." Oh, my friend, what a gracious words. John had often heard these words during the earthly ministry of our Lord. I think much about old Peter. They were in the boat, and the Lord was walking on the water. And he said, "Lord, if it be thee, bid me bid on the water." And he said, "Come." And old Peter stepped out on the water. He stepped out there, and he went to walking on the water. But what happened? He looked down. He looked down and he cried, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." I tell my folks here who are not saved, I said, only prayer you need to pray is, "Lord, save me." Don't pray for mama and papa and president and all of those people. That's all in well and good. But my friend, if you're not saved, it's number one. Old cliche, it's all it is number one. We used to sing a song when I was a child. A bunch of us would sing a little bit. And it sang, "It's not my mama, not my papa, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer." And that's what happened here. Oh, he told John, "Fear not." But John had often heard these words during the earthly ministry of our Lord. When the Lord come walking up on the waters there in the Sea of Galilee one stormy night, he approached them with these words, "Fear not." The night after his resurrection, when he stood with them in the upper room in his resurrected body, he said, "Fear not." Sinner, can't you feel that right hand of salvation now resting upon your heart? Can't you hear that voice saying to your innermost soul, "Fear not"? As a pastor here of this gracious work, Radio Missions and the Voice of Truth broadcast and the bookstore and all the printed mail and the printed literature and all every endeavor of the mission places and the tape families and the internet families, all of those burdens that lay heavily upon my heart many, many, many days, the finances, it sometimes slacks off. The Lord says, "Fear not. Fear not." Oh, if I could just fear not. Can you? Are you fearing not, my friend? He said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive evermore. Fear not, sinner. I have the keys of death and hell. The Lord has the keys to death and hell. I have all authority. All authority has been committed into my hands, and you can trust me. I tell you today, if you're not saved, you can trust the Lord, sinner. And then I tell you, maybe you're out there somewhere in the bend of the creek or in the forks of the road in some little hut or a little humble home. Things are falling in on you, medical bills piling up. You can trust the Lord, my friend. You can trust the Lord. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Is he real to you? If he is, you can trust him. Listen. He says, commit your soul unto me. I love you, for I died for you. Did you know Christ died for you? I was buried for you. I rose again. As I live, so shall you live. Then he would say to his child, fear not, my child, I'm with you. Praise the Lord. Would you do that with me? Praise the Lord for his marvelous grace and mercy extended, handed out to the sons of men. Do you know the story of the queen there? Where she went into the king, Queen Esther, and she said, I can't go in there. He hadn't invited me to come. And Mordecai said, well, if you don't go, you'll die with us. We're all going to die. So she dressed herself and went in unto the king, knowing that if he did not invite her to come, she could be killed. Now that was the rule, my friend. That was the law. And she approached him. Don't you know she prayed? That's what she asked Mordecai. I said, you go pray 3 days for me. 3 days fasting and praying. And she went in unto the king. And he held out the scepter of grace. He held it out. And that meant come. Come unto me. I won't turn you away. That's what he did. And listen, mercy and grace has been extended now for all these years. Many won't have it. Oh, listen, isn't it grace that a God of all grace would love sinners like you and me? You know, we don't have anything to be proud of, my friend. Oh, we're so proud. The world is so proud. Proud of what? Proud that you're a hell-deserving sinner? Praise the Lord forevermore. Would you do that? Listen, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth and has the keys of death and hell, or of hell and of death. And my friend, isn't that grace that the Lord, we look there how John saw the Lord. And we're going to get into the message to the first church in our next study, the church there at Ephesus. Would you go there and read those first several chapters of the book of Revelation, and then you'll be ready to hear and to understand maybe a little bit. And then while you're doing that, take time out to pray for the old trailblazer. I know that we are different from the average radio preacher that you hear who spend most of their time asking for money and all those things. We don't do that. We just ask you to pray for us. Just call our name, the old trailblazer, out to the Lord. Lord, you know the old trailblazer. He's just an old sinner just like me and saved sinner. And Lord, would you bless him? Would you protect him? Would you take care of him? Would you supply all his needs according to thy will? You've put your stamp of approval on the old trailblazer broadcast. It's blessing hearts all over this nation. And Lord, would you continue to supply the need? Just ask the Lord. You can pray that prayer, my friend. As you're driving your tractor back there on the back 40 cutting hay or rounding up the dairy cattle in the morning when it's real early and cold. But I don't have time now, but I want to give you my mailing address. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.